Hour two overdrive continues. Everybody, Eddie Olchuk in about 5 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Jerry will join us today. We're looking forward to that. We got a couple of big games in the NHL, including right here in Toronto. The Leafs are back after a very successful road trip. And Colorado in town, Nathan MacKinnon will make his return tonight. And I heard Sheldon Keefe drop what is pretty close to the equivalent of treat it like a game seven. You see where he said, we haven't quite acclimated to being back home and we're still recovering from being on the road, so we're going to treat it like a road game tonight.
Interesting.
Can't really do that, though, because you're not on the road. You're at home.
No.
So can't treat a game seven like a game seven if it's not a game seven.
Dude, I fully believe in stupid stuff. And this is actually fact. Your first game east after a road trip, you stink. So go ahead the night before or the day of, have morning skate, go to a hotel, eat, and then go to the game. Maybe you can pull it off. I believe in stupid stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Ahead.
Just that first game back east. Just spend the afternoon in a hotel room.
I hear that. I think they're probably nervous about that, considering, A, how successful the road trip was. It's as far west as you can go. You're talking the Pacific time zone, being in California for a week. Coming home, and you've got a really good team waiting for you in Colorado, and you're going back on the road again on Friday. You're flying to Minnesota because you're at Minnesota Saturday, at Winnipeg on Sunday. So I wouldn't say it's a trap game because Colorado's a very good team. You better not be looking past them.
Better not be a trap game, man.
I'm sure they're concerned about everything you guys have detailed, and any NHL player would, the idea of coming home after a West Coast roadie and what you might look like. I'm just saying I don't believe that psychology works.
Well,
you know, let's pretend we're at the Pepsi Center tonight. No, you're at the Scotiabank Arena.
I think what they should do is treat it if you're not going to have your A game every night. So you got to find a way, if you believe that you don't have the legs or your mind isn't there, you got to find a way to get it done. It might be they might have to grind a 1-0 or 2-1 win tonight. Like, that's probably the mindset. He's probably saying, hey, we need a game seven. We need a, you know, a road, like an ugly road win. A lot of times the mindset is at home, got the last change, maybe loosen it up a little bit, you know, put on a show. I don't think they're worried about putting a show on. I think what they're trying to do is, in his mindset, is like, let's grind out an ugly road win like we did, you know. And they won by 3 goals, obviously, on the road, but there were some empty netters and stuff. My point is if it was a close game, you have to grind out and protect that lead. That might be their mindset tonight if they don't have their A stuff or they're a little bit, you know, off based on the travel.
Yeah, and that is what you could be facing tonight. It's another opportunity for the Leafs to prove their growth, their professionalism, their ability to fight through a lot of hurdles, you know, and a lot of built-in excuses. It could be considered a built-in excuse tonight. But the best teams generally find a way to win the games where you think maybe they're not going to have their A game. Or they don't have their A game, right? And that's maybe what the Leafs can find a way to conjure up tonight. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're flying tonight. We'll see. Maybe they have I could see them having a great first 10 minutes or first period, and then third period, you're like, ooh, we're starting to lose our legs here, lose some energy, and that's
dude, it's all mind over matter, Hazy. Like, if you don't understand, if you're like a real, if you're the real deal Holyfield here, if you're Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, you know what's across from you, and if you don't get fired up and just say this is going to be one of those games where everyone's going to be at their best, and be excited and want to be and be the dominant guy and be the best guy, then I don't know, you don't get it. That's what should be going on tonight. It's one of those games. It's like, these guys are damn good. They're a cup favorite. They got Nathan MacKinnon. They got all these guys flying around out there. Just rise up, man. Be good and meet the occasion. It's a big night. It's a big game.
You've
got to love these kind of games.
There's no guarantee that Colorado will have their A game either. But here's the other thing. Nobody's talking about Kadri. It's interesting because he's played very well.
He's been so good.
MacKinnon will slide into that spot where Kadri. I mean, Kadri's chewed up a lot of MacKinnon's minutes, power play time, all of that type of stuff. Like, there's going to be an adjustment for him because MacKinnon steps right in. They're not throwing Kadri over the boards instead of MacKinnon.
Like, yeah, you know it's coming, but it's got to hurt a little bit, right? If you're Nas, you're like, man, it was nice rolling with Rantanen and Landeskog and
exactly.
First PP. And, man, this is I'm putting up numbers, and he's top five in the league in points, I believe. And
right.
And then 29 comes back, and it's like, go ahead down the bench a little bit. Just go hang out down there. And...
it's just second matchup, right? Like that's, you know, it's not like you're playing fourth line minutes, but
no.
You're Kadri, you're rolling, and then the big boy comes back. It's like, all right, like I kind of know where I slot, and it's unfortunate because Kadri has played very well for them.
He has, and did you see him behind the Raptors bench, or he was behind Memphis's bench last night, trolling Steven Adams after Steven Adams got poked in the eye last night? It was actually pretty good. They caught it on the telecast last night. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. He's in Edmonton calling the game tonight. The Oilers taking on the Penguins on TNT. You see him, hear him on the NHL on TNT. One of our favorites. Here's Eddie Olczyk. What's happening, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. How you doing?
Yeah, you too, buddy. We're doing very well. Well, we're excited for the two-pack of games tonight. I think the hockey world's talking about the game in Toronto and the game in Edmonton. And I guess we'll begin with the one here in Toronto, the one we were just talking about, and the reality that Nazem Kadri is facing. And I don't know if you ever were in his position at any point in your career where you got a chance to maybe move up the lineup. You put up big production, and then the big boy comes back, in this case Nathan MacKinnon. And, like, does Bednar even have a chat with him, or is it just you know your spot and sorry, Naz, you're moving down the bench, man. Nathan MacKinnon's back, and you're back on the second line.
Yeah, I mean, I think any time you are a player in this league, and regardless of what era, and you do move up the line chart and you produce well, and, you know, you're on the first power play, you're getting those minutes, you're out there at the end of the game, both in a defensive situation or in an offensive situation. But the reality is that when your best guys come back, you know, there's a pretty good chance that those minutes are going to go down and those quality chances are going to go down. But, you know, Kadri's, I mean, look, he stepped up in a huge way. He really has. He's, you know, they haven't missed a beat, really, since MacKinnon going out. But I think that, yeah, I mean, I think if you're an intelligent coach, you have that conversation with them and just reassure them that, hey, look, you know, like, you did a hell of a job, but, you know, Nate's back and he's going to get those looks and you just got to slide back into your spot. But that's an incredible, I don't say luxury to have, but to know that a guy can step up and eat up those minutes when you lose, you know, arguably one of the top three players in the entire National Hockey League. So, yeah, I think you have that conversation, Brian, but I don't know if you make it too big of a deal about it. And I think Kadri's smart enough now. I mean, some of the plays that he's made over his career, you can say he's not that smart, but I think he's smart enough to understand that MacKinnon knows that, or he knows that, you know, MacKinnon's going to come in and he's going to take 85% of the power play, and I might not get a sniff if I'm not on the number one unit.
The Leafs, it feels like they might be bracing for some impact tonight, Eddie, because they're coming off the road. They had such a successful road trip. They
went great road trip,
and then they take all three in Cali, and really they did so decisively. And now they're coming home, and Sheldon Keefe's like, can we act as if we're still on the road tonight, even though they're at home? What do you expect the response to be from the Leafs, considering first game back on the East Coast and a really quality team in Colorado waiting for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Jamie and Old Dog can probably back this up. I mean, anytime you go on a road trip for a period of time, I mean, that first game back is, you know, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, look what happened to Carolina, right? I mean, Carolina went on the road and they seemed like they were gone for 2 weeks and they were, you know, unbelievable on their road trip. And I know that they had lost a game on the road or whatever. And then they come home and then, you know, they have a tough game, and then they go back on the road out to Dallas, which, I mean, I still can't believe the schedule. And again, I know everybody's schedule gets crazy just because of the Olympic break coming up and everything, but, you know, and you know, they lost that game as well in Dallas. So, I mean, just sometimes the schedule plays that way, but when you do get into these situations and you play four or five games on the road and things go really well, I mean, I think as a team, as a staff, as an organization, I'm sure you're very guarded on, you know, on coming back and playing that first game. It's just, you know, I don't know if there's a letdown and the focus goes away and you got to catch up on a lot of things at home and family and whatever. But I saw the Leafs a week ago. I think it was a week ago tonight. I don't even know what the hell day it is, but it was the night before Thanksgiving, at least American Thanksgiving. And they had a swagger around the locker room their focus on the ice was just, I mean, they were dynamite in that game in L.A. Now, I know that they probably had a little bit of payback coming, and I think talking to Todd McClellan, the head coach of the Kings, before the game is, you know, the game prior when the Kings were in Toronto, you know, the skate was on the other foot, and the Leafs really didn't have a great game. So the Kings were expecting a game and a half, and I think that they got two games from Toronto that night because they were just – They were just flat out awesome. And watching them throughout that road trip, they just really were on their toes. You know, Nylander getting on the board there. I think it was in San Jose, if I'm not mistaken. So they got it going on right now, and they're getting the goaltending, obviously. But that first game back, to the heart of your question, I think, Brian, that's, you know, I think you want to be even or ahead, even though you're at home. And usually the road teams say this, but let's be even or ahead after the first period. And I think if the Leafs could do that, to be one whale of a game, because they're going to face a pretty darn good team in Colorado tonight.
You touched on the Leafs and how it was, did it look different, Eddie? Because I think the fan base, and we touched on it last week, it's like, you know, we're falling in love again here, and the big thing is, come springtime, are we going to get let down? Like, did you see anything different? Could it be different? Is it just these guys getting older and more mature and playing at a different level? Because that's what the fan base, they're kind of up in the air about. We're like, okay, we're back in now, but don't do it to me again in the spring.
Yes, 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 and yes. They will be judged and evaluated and, you know, ultimately figure out is when it comes playoff time. There's no doubt about it. But, yes, it does feel, again, just being around – the team down around, you know, the locker room area before the morning skate. And you know, I mean, a guy like Jason Spezza has always just got a smile on his face and just very infectious personality and smiling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just, they just felt very comfortable and they felt very confident. And, you know, I know they've had their wide range of, you know, of streaks, whether it's specialty teams or even strength or, you know, what have you. But again, I mean, everything is going to be judged on what happens come, you know, early May. I guess that's when playoffs start this year. Usually it's in April, but this year it's going to be hopefully in early May. But yeah, I feel that, and seeing them in person and watching a lot of the games, I think it does feel a little bit different. And, you know, look at it. I mean, can the goaltending continue? I mean, that would be one of the question marks that I had going into the season, and now can that end up being a strength, right? Like, could that end up being something that they could really lean on here and move forward? But I just saw them playing very well collectively. I don't want to say five-man units, but certainly in a swarming type of mentality against a team like LA, who's had a pretty good season, and they can get up and go, but you know, it was just one of those games where there was no contest, I thought. I mean, they just, L.A. just said, you know what, we're the best team, and we're going to play that way, and we're going to play that way for 60 minutes. So now they're starting to get a little bit healthy, and there'll be some tough decisions to make of getting guys in and out. And you guys know this better than anybody. I mean, there is something about chemistry, right? Like, there is something about just having those same guys, and we know the world we're living in with COVID and everything else, but just staying hockey healthy. There's something for consistency, and when guys start feeling it and playing a certain way, you just want to ride that wave, and I think certainly they're doing that right now.
Chatting with Eddie Olczyk. Eddie's in Edmonton calling the game tonight, the NHL on TNT. The Oilers are at home against Pittsburgh, which means McDavid going up against Sidney Crosby tonight. We've been discussing that game a lot throughout the afternoon, Eddie, and specifically how the top two centers mirror each other, not with cup success, clearly, because McDavid and Draisaitl have been together for a handful of years, and by that point, Sid and Malkin had already been to two cup finals and won one. But in terms of just the potent offensive ability and where they might rank all-time 1-2, we all believe it's unanimous. Gretzky, Messier, they're in a, you know, category to themselves. But we came up with a couple of other duos over the last 30, 35 years. Yzerman and Fedorov, Lemieux and Francis, obviously Sid and Gino, Sakic and Forsberg, not necessarily about playoff success and hardware and all that, just any given night in their prime. Do you think the duo of McDavid and Draisaitl up the middle of the ice, could they chase those other duos? Could they already be past them? Where do they rank for you in terms of production and how scary they are for the opposition?
Yeah, that's, I mean, That's a hell of a daily double there when you talk about some of those names. I mean, you get every era there, and just hearing some of those names go, like, geez, I mean, yeah, I played in that era. I'm like, yeah, I was -4 that night. I was -2 that night. And, you know, but as we know, the old dog, right, plus minus is overrated. We know that. Like, that's, you know, we should go to the baseball stats. Is when you get a, you know, when you get an E6, it should be just on E6. It shouldn't be on the whole team, right? Like,
Eddie, do you know how many goals I saw?
Right fielder, right?
You know how many goals that I saw go into the net as I stood beside my defenseman and had him in check? Perfect position! And yeah. Artur Zerbe would be closing his eyes, and I had to chew on a minus. Yeah. It just made me sick.
Yeah. Well, that kind of stuff happens. You know, I did open that box, so to speak. But you know, look at like when you really look at the 1-2 punch for Dave Tippett and with those guys in the middle. I mean, yeah, you could certainly argue when it's all said and done, and whether that's 10 years from now or 15 years from now, you could sit there and probably put their numbers up against some of the greatest 1-2 punches as far as, you know, guys at the, you know, at the pivot as we've seen in history. I mean, the Lemieux-Francis one obviously is pretty interesting, because when you look at Ronnie's numbers and you look at his assists and you just sit there and go, oh my gosh, like, just, you know, probably one of the more underrated players ever, in my opinion, ever to play in the National Hockey League. And, oh, Doug, you know that with being a Ronnie in Carolina. And obviously Mario, you know, his numbers speak for themselves. But, yeah, these guys just they just seem to push each other and feed off of each other. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got a TV timeout right around the corner, or there's a penalty kill that's over, and all of a sudden, you know, Tippy will sit there and go, you know what, I'm just going to load up on these guys. And, yeah, I think one of these nights when they're going so good, I think Tippy should just send the two of them out there by themselves and just see what they could do. You know what I mean? Like, 2-5, Brian.
Yes.
And see if they could go ahead and
I love it.
You know what, we don't need any help on the back end. We don't need a winger. We're just going to go out there. And you know what, they probably would be able to hold their own because they got the puck the whole time. And just two immense talents. And it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. To see Sid, awesome. Obviously, here, and then those two guys patrolling. So, I can't argue. Those two guys, they're certainly in that same air, and when it's all said and done, they may be at the very top of the list, but you got some pretty salty guys there when you talk about Gretz and Mess and, you know, Stevie Y, and then, of course, Mario and Ronnie, and, you know, I mean, the list goes on, but those guys, they're in the team picture, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's a testament to how good they've been. And, you know, on the flip side of it, Sid's playing, but he's still waiting to get going, coming off COVID, yeah. Coming off the surgery.
Yeah.
And Gino's not there either, because Gino's still probably a month and a half out, I would think, before he returns. Where do you stand on Pitt, Eddie, and where they currently are as a franchise and their chances of kind of staying in the mix at this point?
Well, I mean, they've stayed in a mix with they've been moving around and, you know, guys in and out of the lineup. And I mean, they have not had their top six forwards. Talked to Mike Sullivan this morning, and they haven't had their top six forwards together at all, not one shift all season long. You know, I mean, they're missing Brian Rust too, who's a really, you know, I mentioned underrated players. I mean, he's a pretty damn good player. And, you know, I look at him like at a guy like Hyman, you know, I mean, just kind of very similar type of players and just very complimentary and can put the puck in the back of the net, play with anybody. But, you know, I think when you look at how well Tristan Jarry has played, I think I saw him as either player of the week or second player of the week, whatever it was, or for the month, or I saw him as one of the stars of this last little while, and he's been just terrific. And I don't know if you guys saw that Calgary-Pittsburgh game the other night, but if either goaltender is off in that game, I mean, you talk about the old days. I mean, that would have been like 85 in the old Corral. I mean, that could have been a 7-5 game. I mean, both those guys played unbelievable in the game. I mean, Markstrom's, you know, look at, he might be the leader in the clubhouse for the Vezina, in my opinion. But Jari's been terrific. He really has. I know he struggled again. Mentioned about the Leafs and being evaluated come playoff time. Jari's no different. I mean, he was not very good last year in the playoffs, and that really hurt the Penguins because I thought they were just as good as the Islanders, but they just didn't get any saves. I mean, that's just the way that I saw it. So, but I think for Pittsburgh, is they've hung around here with,
with a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. And, it's, you know, I would be very surprised. Like, I think there are a lot of people that think that both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are both going to be out of the playoffs. I'm not so quick. I'm not so quick to pull the plug on the Penguins. I still think that there's a lot there. And if the goaltending, and again, we know what ifs are, but if they can continue with the consistent goaltending and Jarry, there's no reason why the Penguins can't get into a very tough, obviously, you know, deep Eastern Conference. They still, I think they still have the pieces there, Brian. I do. And you're going to get Malkin back. I'm sure he's going to be, you know, he's going to be all lathered up here and get ready and probably be primed to play in the Olympics and then come back and have the stretch run for the Penguins. So it'll be fun to watch, you know, see how the Penguins and this plays out if they can get healthy at some point.
Absolutely, and it'll be a fun one tonight. Pittsburgh in Edmonton. Here's Eddie Olchuk, one of our favorites, the NHL on TNT. Enjoy the game tonight, Eddie. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey guys, just full disclosure, you could go. I know Old Dog's just dying to give me a shot here. I know my horse art collector did not run very well in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I know that.
The way Hazy said it, Eddie, I don't think Eddie had that one right, if I can remember correctly.
No, but you, full disclosure, you said you believed it was going to be a top three. I thought you said that, so you hedged your bet.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I said, yeah. And Jamie, thanks for waking up from your nap. It's good to talk to you.
It's tough to get a word in here.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate it. But, no, you're right. Like that's exactly what I said. It was, again, the odds were very good. And, he, you know, look, he didn't run a lick. Oh, dog, all I'm going to say is you could not even have beat Art Collector of how bad he rode that or he ran that day, okay? I'm just going to let
maybe
you know.
He was
right
out,
now.
Maybe he was out old school the night before the race, Eddie. Who knows?
All right, well, hey, I'm coming to Toronto there, and I'm coming back to TO in, what is it, like 9 days there. I got the Hawks and the Leafs on
Saturday night. I'll be down there.
Saturday night, yeah. We like 8 or 9 days, so I'm looking forward to coming back to town. So hopefully our paths will cross.
Yes.
Wow. How about we do a lunch, Eddie? We'll meet you for a lunch on Saturday.
I'm in. Okay, tell me when.
Okay. We'll get in touch. Maybe we can be up at Woodbine,
and we'll get nostalgic.
Hey, you know what? Oh, well, no, don't worry. I'll already have been there and made my wagers by the time we see. it'll be my treat. It will be my treat in Toronto on that Saturday if we can hook up for lunch. All right?
Love it. All
okay,
right, Eddie.
Boys.
Let's try to make that
great work.
Thank you, buddy. You too. There's Eddie Olchuk joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
I will have already been up at Woodbine. What time does he go there?
It's right by the airport.
Exactly. It's 5 minutes from the airport, man. You land at the airport quick. You know, it's a hop, skip, and a jump up the Woodbine.
I know, Hazy, but what are horses buzzing around at 7 a.m. where he can wheel in there?
Well, not in the winter anywhere. They're not running anything up there, but you can get the international bets in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. He's rolling in, and yeah, he's just rolling in, and he's betting somewhere else, not here, but that's the spot to do it. I love it. He had a tough one on you, Hayes. Like that one was
that might have been
the King Daddy. There's been a few throughout the years, and I know Lucic had some fun with it because I think he knew the story, the backstory. But this one, he like dug in. Like
you know, Jamie and Old Dog can probably back this up.
Oh, he drew that out, man. It was like. It was like I said in the text chain, it was like Babe Ruth pointing to center field saying, I'm about to hammer this thing over that wall. It was just a drawn out. I knew where he was going. Right when he said Jamie, I'm like, oh, he's going to say Jamie and Owen exclude me and say, you guys would know this. But it's fine because we love Eddie Olchuk. And I was thinking about Art Collector, and I wasn't going to bring it up. I'm glad he did because he was all over that horse, man. But listen, he's picked so many winners over the years on this show. You can't win them all, and that's what we love about Eddie Olchuk. He's always going to come back to the OTB and lay down another bet, right?
Exactly.
Eddie's going to have some info. And again, Eddie joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Pre-orders are now available for all models, including the all-new 2022 Tundra and Corolla Cross. Visit MapleToyota.com. Jerry's percentages coming up. Jerry's got statements. He's got takes. And we haven't played Jerry's in a while. We're looking forward to it. Catch up with Jerry next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f-ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! Jerry! Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, it is. Jerry's Percentages on a Wednesday afternoon. It feels, you know, right in the world. This is great. We haven't caught up with Jerry in a couple of weeks, but Jerry's a part of the rotation, and he's a busy guy. There's a lot going on. And generally speaking, he's got an opening statement. I believe that is the case this week. You guys ready to hear from Jerry?
Ready.
Let's go. Anyone that knows anything knows that Jerry is the cool kid at the commissioner's table. And it's not a hard title to keep when you're surrounded by nerds and losers like Silver and Goodell. But Bobby Mann's Bob Manfred might just tip the scales with this lockout in Major League Baseball. Because everyone knows chicks dig the lockout. Jerry.
I don't know why.
Dig the lockout with an unnecessary deep gold dust sniff at the end. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it is. Maybe chicks do dig the lockout. Jerry would certainly.
No, they don't. They do not dig.
Jerry would be Derek Jeter if that was the case.
What has he had, three?
At least. I mean, this guy goes through lockouts like, you know.
Yeah.
It's nobody's business. And I guess he admires Rob Manfred, because it sure sounds like that's where baseball is heading as of midnight tonight.
It's... Dude, you can't do it to people, man. And it's not just about people being reasonable, Hayes. I just think with what's gone on in the world with COVID and what people have been dealing with, if you're a baseball fan and then you throw that on top of everything that's happened in the last couple of years, I think people will just give them the middle finger and say, that's it, man.
Oh, I think it's very demoralizing, very disappointing.
Fire,
but as long as you don't miss any games, it's all good. I mean, the problem with this is the offseason is a big part of your marketing campaign. Getting big names signed, trades happening, and that's all shut down. That's what sucks here is you've still got Carlos Correa out there. You've got Trevor Story out there. You've got a bunch of big names who are still available, to say nothing of trades, and it's all going to be shut down, you know, because of the lockout, which is disappointing.
But I don't know if anybody – even if these lockouts have been like, I'm done with that sport, never gone back. Has there been one person that you know from those hockey lockouts be like, nah, you know what, they locked out in 06, never went back?
Generally, they come back
at
some point.
They'll always come back. You
might
just
miss
hope
a
that
year, the, half
you,
year.
You
but...
just hope it doesn't happen because we are still in a pandemic. That's
right.
I think what O's saying. It's like it's ridiculous. People are, you know, still at home or still, you know, their lives have changed, and you go through that process. You hope that cooler heads prevail.
Hopefully they will. I don't think it's going to happen between now and midnight tonight, clearly, but
right.
Hopefully at some point in the next month or so, and this all just becomes a silly exercise. All right, let's see what kind of takes Jerry has in store
Got
this
it.
Week.
Here's a scoop for you clowns. Jerry's going to text the IOC and say the NHL isn't going to Beijing, and then ghost those losers for the next 4 years. But a U-Up text is coming for 2026 when the NHL makes its triumphant return to the Olympic Games. And Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin will both be on their respective teams.
Interesting. Wow.
So
ghosting.
Is this like a combo percentage?
Yeah,
not going this year, and then the next one, Sid and Ovi?
That's what Jerry's saying. At 2026... Ovi will be there for Russia. Sid will be there for Canada.
Oof, that's tough.
And but Sid's 34, and Ovi's
36, and Sid's 34.
Yeah. No, you're not wheeling over 40-year-old men in the Olympics, bud. Like, no way.
Well, I think Ovi.
I mean, sorry, Jerry, not bud. I'm not directing this towards you. It's
right.
Just no way,
Jerry.
It's,
yes, no, I understood that. You don't have to clarify that. Jerry's the guy who's dealing with the scorn right now. I could see Ovi there at 40.
Yeah,
he's the greatest Russian player of all time. You know, you stick him on the fourth line as basically a mascot. Even if, you know, I think he'd still be playing in the NHL, maybe chasing Gretzky at that point by 40, which means he'll be there.
I agree.
Sid, I think, is where it gets challenging, because if Sid's 38 and there's so much more depth in Canada, and who knows, like, what if Bedard is up here and Shane Wright's up here and you're fighting with those guys in 4 years, to say
right.
nothing of McDavid and McKinnon and others still.
Right.
But, you know, 38, Sid, if he's in shape and can still play on your third or fourth line, even if he moves to the wing, I think it's possible. You know, I said yesterday, I thought it wasn't, and then I thought about it last night, and I'm like, maybe. I'll give it a shot. I'll say 51%. I'm going to lean into the majority. 51% in 4 years, the two of them are still at the Olympic Games.
I'm dead zero, man.
Well, see, I'm 100% on Ovi. It's Sid that is the 50-50 for me. So I'm 75%.
All right.
Like that's I think Sid is so talented, and his work ethic, that might be what drives him at 38, you know, depending on where Pittsburgh or where he ends up, you know, if he ends up moving on from Pittsburgh. That might be a scenario that drives him.
Well,
and I
how
think
old
Ovi's
was Mario in 02? Mario would have been, is he 36?
Something like that. He was, I think, 35 on the dot.
And Mario wasn't exactly known for being the most in-shape athlete in the history of the sport.
Right.
35 in 2002 might be the new 38 or 40 in 2026. Okay. All right. We'll see. I mean, hopefully we get there with both of them. But you're at 75%, Noodles?
Yeah, I'm at 75% that both of them are there.
If the NHL were going to the Olympics and you just heard Jerry's big news dump, or should I say news sky dump from the top rope, then John Tavares would make Team Canada and be off to Beijing.
A news sky dump from the top rope. Okay, so I guess we're speaking in hypotheticals here because Jerry's already revealed that they're not going to the Beijing. But if they were, Jerry's saying John Tavares will be on Team Canada.
If they were picking right now, I'm going to say 70% because he's dialed in right now. If they're picking it right now, that's all I got for you, 70%. I can't predict 2 months from now or whenever they make the selection, but if they picked right now, I'd say 70%.
I'm a little lower on that. I'd like to be 50, 60, 70%. I just think it's, you know, he's going to be in a pool with a bunch, you know, 10, 12 other guys. It depends on what they covet and what he can bring. You know, what's their thought process? Do you want Couturier as a, you know, a guy who could play on the penalty kill instead of John Tavares, who could do kind of everything? Mm-hmm. That's what concerns me for him, not because of how well he's played. I think he's been fantastic this year and consistent, but I'm 41%, just below 50, but have lots of hope there for him.
Yeah, I don't think this is a lock one way or the other. I think this is actually a classic Jerry's percentage because it's not 100%, it's not 0%. He's a very good player, having a great season, and he's a guy that's familiar with the national team. He was there in 14. I could see him in a position where he moves to the wing. I don't think he's playing up the middle of the ice. But, you know, is he on the left wing? Is Marner on the right wing and you put someone up the middle? You know, is that Braden Point up the middle? Is it – who knows? I mean, I think you bring up an interesting point, Noodles. Is he battling with the defensive-type players or the grinder-type players? Is he battling with a Hyman? Is he battling with, you know, Mangiapane, who's a guy who's come up a lot? Because if it is a Couturier or a Ryan O'Reilly, I don't think he'll win that battle because that means the front office looking for a specific type of player to play a specific type of role. I think he's playing on the wing. He's a guy that can play up the middle of the ice. He can pot goals. I think he's definitely in the running. I'll go 71%. I'm going to go a little bit above. I think he's certainly in the running. I think he's a guy that can move around the lineup. Maybe he's your 13th forward, but as a veteran guy who you trust and you know what he's going to bring to the room, that could go a long way as well. I'll say 71%.
What if Marcus Semien or Robbie Ray, those bastards, will have a massive season next year and will be in the same ballpark of production with their 2020 season?
I'm going to be low on this, to be honest with you. It might sound shocking after what we're talking, Cy Young and 45 homers and the whole nine. But to back that up, I'm going to go 20%.
Yeah.
I should be lower.
I'm going 0%.
Good for you.
0%. I don't generally do that, but there's no way Robbie Ray is – going to have 248 strikeouts, win the Cy Young, a 2.81 ERA.
Now, let me ask the question.
Not happening.
If he was putting on a Blue Jays hat today, would you still be staying?
I'd say the same thing. I'll say the same thing about Kevin Gausman. Gausman's not going to have the year he had last year. That's going to get scaled back as well. I'm not banking on Gausman having a 2.80 ERA, 227 Ks, you know, and lighting up the league the way that he did in the NL West. I think Gausman will come back to earth. I think Ray will come back to earth. Semien is not hitting 40 home runs again in his career. I don't believe he will. So I'm at, it doesn't mean they can't have great seasons. Robbie Ray has a 3.25 ERA and strikes out 200 guys. That's a great year, but it's not in the same ballpark as a Cy Young. And if Semien throws up 32 home runs, has an 850 OPS and a great season, that's a great season. Not the equivalent of the third best player in the American League. So 0% for me.
I'm 7%. I'm giving a thin layer just that he, you know, has found his game, continues on with what he does with the work that he did with Pete Walker, but ultimately it is so close to zero. I just wanted to go slightly above to give him the benefit of the doubt.
The Boston Bruins are in shambles right now. And Jevy thinks it will continue with the Bees missing the playoffs. That goon, Hazy B, touched on this in the summertime. He's not that stupid after all.
How about that, Jerry, with a little compliment? Ooh. I think a backhanded one at that, but I'll take it. It's better than the alternative.
We did a Jerry's crystal ball, I think, right when we fired up, and you said Bees missed the playoffs.
That might have been last year. It might have been last year. I've been saying it for a few years, and I keep going back.
It was
in September.
Okay, I'll take it. Yeah, I'm going to follow through on that now. I'm not going to say 100% because I have too much respect for the organization and the goaltending. I worry about the depth is worrisome. Taylor Hall's got to get cooking, man. He's got to supply more on the second line. Like, Krejci's not there. That gets lost in the shuffle, man. He was a mainstay for like 15 years.
But you can't say Krejci's not there. It's who the hell's filling in the hole? Nobody.
Well, Charlie Coyle has 7 goals.
But he's not Krejci, though. He's not.
No,
he's not
I'm
as good
saying,
of a player.
Like,
he's not.
I think Boston's 2 points out of a wild card spot.
With games in hand, yeah.
Games in hand.
No one's saying they're finishing last. It's
from what I've seen of them, that top line is so much of their offense, much like any team, but it doesn't seem like many other guys are getting much done.
You guys go first. I still believe they'll make the playoffs, but you guys go.
I'll go 35% chance of missing.
Yeah, that's still really low. I mean, that's paying the respect to the Bruins. I think they're going to make it too. I'm going to go a little bit closer to 50, but I am going to be on the south side of 50. I'll say 45%. But I had them in the, you know, I still think they can make the playoffs for sure. And I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great world beater team like they have been in years past, but I still think they've got the makings of a good team.
I think they've got to add a defenseman for sure. But, like, you know, who is that and what are you going to do? They might end up trading DeBrusk for somebody that can help with that depth. Because you look at it, DeBrusk is behind Marchand, Foligno's there, and Hall on that left side. So he's basically your fourth-line winger. Get something pretty good for him, I would think.
Yes.
But ultimately, I'm going to say 65%. They're a playoff team. Not, you know, 100% because there's other teams kicking around there. And that, I'm going to stick with my narrative the whole time. 10 teams for 8 spots.
Doesn't that change, though? You had Philly as one of your 10. Are you still including Philly as one of the 10 in the East? Because, I mean,
they're at 20 points in 20 games. I mean, you
Chuck
know, they
Fletcher
need better.
Is basically, like, he, what did he they've had injury problems. They have.
Right.
But he said we're searching for answers.
They're worried down there.
Well, they are. I mean, the thing is Detroit's very high. Do you think Detroit's going to come back?
No, I don't.
You know,
I think they come back to reality.
You know, ultimately, there are some teams that you think are in, like Jersey's in there. I don't think Jersey's in there at the end. So, you know, I think the Islanders have lots of runway left. They've only played 17 games. We'll see what happens with them. They got to get going, obviously, but everyone else thinks they're done. I don't think they're done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's only 8 chairs, and it's musical chairs, so you've got to find a spot. So Boston could miss, the Islanders could miss, and you might have Columbus or one of these teams, Detroit, not, you know, drop off and continue on. But I think Boston is, for me, 65. It's not 95, but it's a 65.
Okay.
And Rask is a big point for me,
too. If he comes back, too, that could
really... If he comes back, he helps that team.
Turn the tide, for sure.
Yeah.
Jerry's right-hand man, Tom Brady, will win the MVP this season. The last time I saw Tom never mind.
Oh, I kind of want to know that backstory. Jerry and Tom Brady rolling in the same entourage. So Jerry's got, you know, TB12, man. TB12. And as of right now, the odds in Vegas would suggest that that's a pretty good bet. He's sitting there at the top of the board or real close to it.
I'm going to say 75% because I think he actually deserves it. And he is my guy. But I think it's just I think people are going to stop looking for the success story or the young guy coming up or the Kyler Murray situation, which he needs to get back and play some games before.
Yeah,
he's
Murray may
brought,
have but, taken himself out
just by being injured. Right. But I just think people are going to be like, screw it. The guy's 45 years old, 44 years old, and he's the best QB and he's the MVP. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give it to him, 75%.
I'm lower on it. I just play the field. Like, I don't know. I love him. I love the narrative, but I think there's others there too. So I'm going to go 61%.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking a lot of runway here, and we know the way voting generally works. It's what have you done for me the last 4 or 5 weeks? Remember Rodgers took off from Mahomes last week? He did that in the last 4 weeks of the season. So if Josh Allen beats New England twice – and he's a rock star down the stretch, I could see him winning. I don't think Mahomes is out of the race at all. If they run the table here, Mahomes gets crazy with stats, he'll come back into the picture.
He'd have to be out of this world, Hayes.
They
out
would.
Of this
so?
World.
They would, but, you know, the thing is, you look at who's around him. Matthew Stafford's out.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, I think, is out. Kyler Murray may have injured himself out of the conversation. Lamar Jackson just threw 4 picks. In a game, like it probably is. I'll say 51%. Tom Brady, 51%. I believe we have a Jerry's After Dark. I believe we have one more in the chamber. So we'll catch up with Jerry again. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in about 20 minutes. I have an idea in terms of Al's brother and your picks and what we could be doing for tomorrow. Okay,
wow.
I'll throw that at you. You tell me how you feel about this idea and whether or not it's something you might want to activate. All right, we'll get to that next. All right, so Al's brother and yourself, you're dealing with a conundrum here. You guys are coming off a really tough week, and it's been a tough season, but there's still a lot of runway left. And you guys are on the clock for the game tomorrow night. Amari Cooper's on the bird. He's on his way to New Orleans. Taysom Hill, it sounds like, will start for New Orleans. He's coming back. He's been injured. So you got the Saints, Cowboys tonight, or tomorrow night. The Cowboys are favored. You guys will have that pick. And you'll have the Monday Nighter, Bills at home against the Patriots. So two big games this weekend, both of them Team Al Dog picks. And we're trying to come up with some sort of a solution.
Go ahead. Come up with an idea because Graham DeLatte said he'd help us out with his selection.
I saw that.
Yeah, and Graham knows how to read a board, man. He was picking winners last Thursday as well. I mean, that is something that could be an option. I'm thinking what we do is I canvass somebody. You are not privy to the information. Let's say it's Kara, our friend Kara Waglin. Let's say Kara joins us tomorrow. I send her a text tomorrow. Say, who would you take in this game based on the spread, Dallas or New Orleans? She gives me that answer. Al's brother steps up with all his information, his tremendous information, and comes up with his pick, announces his pick. At that moment, you, Jeff O'Neill, can either stick with Al's brother's pick or take Kara's pick without knowing who Kara's taken. Now, if you take Kara's pick.
So it's like a lifeline.
Like a phone a friend.
Lifeline.
It's a phone
but
a friend.
It's phone a friend. But if you take Kara's pick, you don't know. I will not reveal it to you until the next day after the game is over live on the show. So you'll be going in blind. Maybe she picked the same thing Al's brother picked. Maybe she didn't. You won't know that. Maybe you stick with Al's brother if he's very
Are you
going to
reveal the name of the person that provided you information
yes,
or no?
Yes, I will. I will let – again, I haven't spoken with Kara. I can speak with her tonight. I'll send her a text. I'm sure she'd be willing to do this. Maybe if she doesn't or if she's busy or whatever, we reach out to Graham DeLatte, you know, Karolnik, Koliakovo, whoever it's going to be.
Okay. You got to do GD tomorrow, and we'll do Kara the week after
the
Sunday. But tomorrow, he said he would be in.
Okay. Well, then I have
but
to
But I love the idea.
Personally. Okay. Okay,
I think it's great.
And listen, Al's brother, if he makes a very compelling case, you may say, I can't move past that. That's what I'm thinking. I'm taking Al's brother's pick. And if that's the case, then I can reveal to you who Graham DeLatte picked or Kara Waglin picked or whoever it is. And Maybe they picked the same thing. Maybe they didn't. We'll find out.
But I feel like Al's brother's the coach, and I just hired Scotty Bowman as the assistant, and I'm just like undermining him.
It could be, but there's a chance you go with the lifeline, and it turns out that it's the opposite pick, and that's the time Al's brother picks a winner, and you sandbagged him.
Yeah.
Like it brings a different compelling element to this.
I'm in with both feet. I love it.
What was the name of that show? What was the name of the Lifeline show?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Wants to be a millionaire?
Who wants to pick a winner? That's what it's going to be.
Well, awesome.
Noodles, you can be Regis if you want, whatever you want. Who wants to pick a winner starts tomorrow.
How about this? Who wants to be Al's brother?
Okay. There it is. Ooh. It's available. It starts tomorrow. Okay. So you're locking it in. We're doing this. Darren Dreger still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.